This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the Master of the First and the Last, and upon his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, my beloved brothers and sisters, to our friends, to our viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, we are continuing our study of the foundations of Islam. And this is a special course developed to enable new Muslims, those who have recently embraced Islam, and those who have revived their faith, to enable them to be able to come into a fuller, rounder, more objective picture of the faith. And the intention is not to get too intellectual or too academic, but to provide some solid information. And in some cases, this will be information that's not really available so readily in the masjids and, you know, online and whatnot. But this is solid information that is critical, I believe, for anybody who wants to really understand Islam and especially be prepared for what is ahead of us in the next few days, in the next few years. So this is the New Muslim Circle, and we are following the teachings of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in particular, his response to the angel Jibreel, peace be upon him, who came to him and asked him, tell me about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And the Prophet ﷺ informed Jibreel that Islam is based on five pillars, and that is the Shahada, or the testimony of the oneness of Allah, and the prophethood of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him, and the establishment of prayers, the establishment of zakat, meaning giving a certain portion of your wealth to the poor and the needy, once per year, and also fasting in Ramadan and performing the pilgrimage to the house of Allah once in a lifetime if you are able. The angel responded and said, Sadaqt, what you have spoken is the truth. Then he said, tell me about Iman. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Iman is to believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers, and to believe in the last day, and to believe in the will of Allah, the good and the evil thereof. He asked him about Ihsan, and the Prophet ﷺ responded, that is to worship Allah as though you see him or he sees you. So these are the three stages. You could say Islam, Iman, Ihsan. And when a person enters into the faith, they become Muslim. And Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah. It's not necessarily Arabic-speaking person. It's not necessarily a Semitic person or somebody who is only believes in one God, but it is the ultimate way that Allah has revealed in all nations and all tribes the true belief in the Creator. And that is Islam. And in Arabic, they would say istislam also means submission or surrender. So a Muslim is one who's surrendering themselves in submission to the Creator. And the next level is Iman. And from Iman comes Mu'min. So you hear Mu'min being used. That is a believer. And that's the next stage of development. And the final stage is Ihsan. And the person who practices Ihsan or righteousness, you could say, is Muhsin. So the word Muhsin is Ismu Fa'il. So that is the doer of the action, the doer of the Ihsan, is the highest stage. And we want to look at all of these stages in a practical way, going section by section, so you have a base understanding of these critical aspects of the faith. And we understood something of the oneness of Allah, and also of Malaika, of the angels, and the books, and the messengers, and we have reached the belief in the last day. So that is As-Sa'a, the hour, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of judgment. There's so many different names given for this final transition that people, all human beings will go through, who lived from the beginning of time, will be raised and will go through the final transition during this day of judgment. So being a believer means that you need to incorporate the belief in the last day into your understanding. And that changes your look at the world. Because if we believe that this life is everything, then that will affect how we function, because we'll live more for the dunya, for the life of this world. Money will mean more to us. Material things will mean more to us. But if we recognize that there is a final accounting day and then a hereafter, which is the everlasting, that changes our attitude toward life. And that, again, it's taken you to a higher stage, right? Remember, the first stage, you were believing in Allah as messenger, or you were praying, you were fasting, you were giving of yourself, trying to go to Mecca. You're on the first stage. But now this is the second stage, where the understanding is broadened. It's broadened to include the next life. And one of the important issues concerning the belief in the last day are the signs of the coming of the last day. And I want to touch on some of these signs, especially for the new Muslims, because there is so much information now being thrown at us from all different angles. And we need to have authentic, solid knowledge concerning some of the major things that are about to happen. Because the world is in transition. It's in a change. And there are apocalyptic events that are taking place. And I believe that if you and I, if we are alive in the next 10 years, then we're going to see some very traumatic things that are happening in this world. Apocalyptic changes. So the whole relationship of people will not be the same. And so these signs, which are leading toward the day of judgment, there are minor signs and major signs. And we looked at some of the minor signs, and the scholars have informed us that the minor signs of the day of judgment have been completed. And we found out, for instance, that the Prophet ﷺ said in one occasion, you will find the naked, destitute Bedouins. They are competing against each other in building tall structures. This has been fulfilled. And we understand this, who live now in this world, even better than somebody 50 years ago. Because they might have looked at some of the empires. There were some big buildings, there's no doubt. But in terms of Arabia itself, where the naked, destitute Bedouins, very simple lifestyle, it changed dramatically within the past 40, 50 years. Dramatic change. And it's still going through some dramatic change. And they're literally struggling against each other to see who will have the tallest building in the world, who will have the most elaborate structure. So that's how one of the minor signs and how it's fulfilled. These minor signs are taking us to the major signs. And these major signs are very important to us to understand, because if somebody said it's the end of time, there's a asteroid that's about to hit Earth, everything's gone within the space of 20 days, then first thing a Muslim will say, a believer will say, have any of these major signs taken place? If they haven't taken place, I don't accept this, right? Because we have this solid knowledge. And on the authority of Hudhayfa ibn Usayd al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ has said that the hour will not come about until you see 10 signs. Okay, so you need to have general understanding of these 10 signs. Okay, the more you get into your Islam, the deeper you can get into the details of this. But I want to give you some practical information about them. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the smoke, the Dajjal, meaning the Antichrist, the beast, the rising of the sun from the west, the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, Yajuj and Majuj, the three landslides, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula, and the last sign is a fire, which will emerge from Yemen and drive the people to their place of gathering. Okay, so these are the 10 major signs that are coming. And Anas reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, the signs are like beads, especially he's talking about the major signs. It's like beads next to one another on a string. When the string breaks, they will follow one another. Like you see this tasbih, these dhikr beads. Once it breaks, they're going to go like this. So it's going to be apocalyptic. Like they say, time will stand still. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life. If you were ever in a really traumatic situation, like for instance, a car accident. If you're ever in that type of a situation, you know, where you were facing death. You were literally facing death. In this part of the world, there's usually a car accident or something like that. And I was in a situation one time on the 401 driving, and you know, and then I turned into the middle lane, and a giant truck was in back of me, and it hit me. And then I was in the air. So I just said, "Oh Allah, decide." So at that point, time stands still. It may be something to do with our blood system, but things get slow, like you're in slow motion, all right? And so fortunately, I went down, hit the guardrail, and you know, I was okay. But the point is, time stood still. So when these traumatic things will be happening in the world, it's like time is standing. If you're in an earthquake, right? And that ground is shaking and everything's moving around, time is standing still. Okay, so that's the trauma. And the scholars now looked at these signs. There's a number of hadiths. And so they looked at it to try to give us a scholarly order. So we have some order of these signs, because they may come in different forms. And so basically the order, and this is not cut in stone, but basically it is the Antichrist. Of the major signs, the first one would be the Antichrist. And then the descent of Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, his return. And then Yajuj and Majuj, we know in English as Gog and Magog. Okay? Then the western sunrise, right? Then the beast, the Dukhan, the smoke, and then three landslides, and then the great fire. Okay, so they put it in that order, how it appeared in bringing together all the traditions there. So we'll use this order in order to get a basic understanding. And the most important of these signs, actually, is the first one. And that is the fitna, or the trial and test of Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. And the Prophet ﷺ said, between the creation of Adam and the onset of the hour, there will be no affairs greater than Ad-Dajjal. This will be the greatest affair, the most traumatic thing that has happened to humanity. That's how serious it is. It hasn't happened yet. Okay? And the word Masih, and we know it before from Masih, Messiah. It is used with Isa alayhi salam as well, because it also means, Masaha means to anoint or to rub over. So they say that Jesus is the anointed one. Okay? And but here, it can also mean that his eye is mamsuh, which means it is wiped over, or it is deformed, like a grape which has popped out. Okay? And Dajjal also, the main quality of Dajjal is he's a liar. He's the great liar. And so the word Antichrist is used also as a way to translate this concept of Dajjal. And as I mentioned before, the Christians have a concept of the Antichrist. And their concept is that he's a human being, and somehow the devil has a relationship with a woman, and the child is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be the force that is waiting for Jesus to come to fight. So there's going to be this war that is actually going on. And you'll be shocked to find out what some of the Christians, especially evangelical Christians, are teaching in their churches. This was some years ago. I believe it was back in the 90s. No, in the 2000s. I was in Florida. And I came into my hotel room. I had gone to like a lecture or something like this in a hotel room. And I turned on the television. And one of the big televangelists was on. And he was saying that he's speaking about the war in Syria. And he's talking about the forces of the Daesh or the ISIS forces that are there and the fighting that's going on there. And he said, if this force is defeated, then in back of them, I think he said, if they are successful, then in back of them is the Antichrist. And I'm looking at this. How can he say this? This is an American Christian audience. Okay, and he's using Antichrist like an everyday word. So that's something that they have in their mind. And Muslims, most of the Muslims, don't have a clue about this. If you go down to the masjid and take a census of people, how many of you know about Dajjal? Probably 90% of them do not. They may have heard the word before, but they don't know who the Dajjal is, and they don't have any idea about the Dajjal himself. And he will appear at the time when the Muslim Ummah will actually have authority in the world. And so you can see there's some time left, right? Because we don't have authority now. But our numbers are rising and rising and rising with all the destruction going on. The wealth in the world is being transformed, changed more toward our part of the world. If you look, for instance, at certain countries, just like if you look at West Africa, at the Sahel region, in Mali and in Niger and these countries where they're fighting against the French, okay, underneath their land are most of the minerals that are needed in order to make transition from oil and gas into electronic things and go to a different level. They need certain minerals. And so a lot of these precious stones, Afghanistan too, has a lot of the precious metals that are it's underneath our lands, right? So this transition is now about to take place. And the description of Dajjal is that he's a heavy-set man, and he has whitish skin with sort of a red tinge in his skin. His hair is curly, okay, so, and it's red. It's red, curly hair. And a detailed description also says that his toes are turned in, okay, when he walks, like. So his toes are turned in. And his left eye is a protruding. Okay, and this is something similar. I tried to get an example of this. It's like a trachoma. It's an eye disease. I've seen this before. I lived with Bedouins in Medina. And in those days, back in the 70s, the flies in the desert area are really active. They're not like flies in Canada are lazy. So these flies will literally attack your face. And if there's anything of moisture, because they're in the desert, they'll go to the moisture. And so children, in many cases, you know, their eyes are watering. So the flies are there, and these little children, they just let them go. And sometimes people, they don't take care of themselves. And so you can get what we call red eye. So it's an infection in your eye. If you don't take care of it, it will become infected, and your eye will literally be covered over, and it turns gray. And in some cases, it will pop out. So it'll literally pop out of your head like a grape. Okay? I've seen this before. Today, there's better medical attention that they have in Arabia and other. They would take care of it and cover it. But before, you could see people walking around with this popped out eye. Okay, and that's how his eye is described. He's blinded in the left eye. Okay, he can only see with the right. So if somebody claims they're Dajjal, or this person is Dajjal, and he's got two eyes, that's not him. Okay, you got to know the signs, right? But Dajjal is a human being. Dajjal is a human being. And this is a discussion that has gone on amongst certain scholars. He's also described, the Prophet ﷺ said, he will not leave any part of the earth without entering it and prevailing over it, apart from Mecca and Medina. He will not approach any of their gates. He will be met by angels with unsheathed swords. He can't enter Mecca and Medina. But everywhere else, he's coming. He's definitely coming to Toronto. If he's not here already on Church Street, down here, he's definitely coming here. There's no doubt about it. New York City is probably his second home. Everywhere in the world, this Dajjal will come. But two places he will not come to. It's Mecca and Medina. And this is very significant. And there are people who say, there's an argument that people have where they say, that, you know, when you look at these signs, you should look at the signs symbolically. Symbolically. That means that you don't take it literally. You take it symbolically. And one scholar, Akbar Ali was his name, and he had this famous book out before, and he said that Dajjal is, he flies, he's described as flying from one city to another. He can fly. Okay, he can go from one city to another city. Okay, so that's American Airlines. British Airlines, right? You start in one place and you fly to the other place. So he's making his own interpretation, right? And he's saying, like, okay, he's got one eye. His one eye is the TV. It's television, right? One eye. Okay, so, and this is an argument they argued, and some people will try to argue this, that you can't take these, but the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they took this literally, that he is a human being with these descriptions. And the rebuttal to that argument about symbolic is the fact that if his one eye is the television. According to the authentic hadith, he can't enter Mecca and Medina. And if you go to a hotel in Mecca and Medina, they have TV in every room. So that's finished. That argument's gone. Okay? Now, what is the danger about Dajjal? The Prophet said, I am the most knowledgeable about what the Dajjal will have with him. He will have two rivers. One will appear to be white water, and another will appear to be a raging fire. If anyone is put to the test, let him go to the one which he thinks is the fire. Let him close his eyes, tilt his head, and drink from it, for it is cool water. So Dajjal is going to have some unbelievable tests that he has. And for instance, he will come to a people and he will say, believe, I am your Lord, accept me. And so he can help you or he can harm you. He can command the rain, he can cause droughts, he can communicate with animals, right? He can bring forth treasure. He can kill a young man. He can kill somebody and bring him back to life, or it appears to be. This is some serious things, right? And the Prophet ﷺ even said that part of his fitna will be that he will say to a Bedouin, do you think if I resurrect your father and mother, you will bear witness that I am your Lord? He will say, yes. Then a shaitan, meaning a jinni, right? Remember, jinns can take the form of human beings. We learned that. A shaitan will appear to him in the form of his father and his mother and will say, my son, follow him. He's your Lord. That's a serious test. That's the ability that he has. And with the technologies that are in the world today, the things that are going on, we are seeing some strange incidents. And the answer to the people who are saying Dajjal is here right now, the logical answer to this, the most balanced answer to this is what you are seeing is not Dajjal, but the forerunners to Dajjal. They are setting the stage for the Antichrist to come. It's literally being set. And some people will look, one world government, like UN stuff, right? One world currency, we're moving toward that. One world capital, right? All these things where you're trying to control everybody in the world, right? All of this could be moving toward Dajjal. These are the forerunners. But when Dajjal himself comes, then this is going to be serious. Where will he come? In an authentic hadith, it says it's in Khorasan. And Khorasan is now present-day Iran, parts of Iran and Afghanistan. Okay, this is before it was known as Khorasan, in that area. But in terms of his emergence, one hadith is saying he's like from Isfahan. But Isfahan is the city in Iran now. It's an Iranian city. And he himself is coming from the Beni Israel. He's from a Jewish background. Beni Israel. And you would say, how is that possible for Beni Israel in Iran? Aren't the Iranians fighting against the Israelis? Like, look at the world, right? But if you look at Iran, Iran is a very complex country. It's much more complex than what you think it is. Because originally, Iran and the Khorasan area, that was completely Sunnah. That was completely the area of the great people of Hadith were coming from that area, like Bukhari, just a little bit higher, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, famous scholars came from that area. People of Hadith that you would call Sunnah. And it did not turn into the Shia belief until much later, more toward the 16th century. It's a very complex place. Also, it is one of the places where when the children of Israel were persecuted by the Babylonians, by the Persians, they were driven out of Jerusalem, they fled to different parts of the world. And one of the places they took refuge in was in Iran. And so there is a sizable population of Jewish people in Iran today. They are Iranians. And they don't want to leave Iran. They like it there. They were even asked to leave, but they don't want to leave. Because the Iranians live people of the book, they live with them okay. So there's not a problem. So there is a population there in that part of the world. But in terms of his emergence, when he really will take the stage, it is somewhere between Iraq and Syria. And the length of his stay will be 40 days. That means his time of major authority. One day is like a year. Another day is like a month. And another day will be like a week. Okay, so what this means, it's hard for us to interpret this, right? It's apocalyptic times, right? Remember, time stood still, right? So one day is going to be like a year if time is standing still. And so it's a very serious fitna or trial that human beings will be placed under all over the world. And how do we protect ourselves from Dajjal? The Prophet ﷺ said, if he, the Dajjal, emerges while I am still among you, I will take care of you. But if he emerges when I am not among you, each one of you will have to argue for himself. And Allah will take care of every true Muslim. If you're a true Muslim, Allah will take care of you. And one hadith, he said, the people will flee from Dajjal into the mountains. So that's something about urban areas, right? It's going to be better to live out in the woods, right, than in the city. And you can see now with cell phones and artificial intelligence, you got to be somewhere where they can't track you, right? So the mountain areas are going to be the safest places. And another protection is the chapter called Surat al-Kahf, the chapter of the cave. And you should learn to recite this, the first and the last 10 verses, or the whole of that, especially on Friday. Right? These are some protections from it. And again, to give you a little bit of details without going too deep, but there is a dua that you can make where it's saying, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa min adhab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wa mamat wa min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. So it's saying, O Allah, we seek refuge in you from the torment of hell, the torment of the grave, the trials of life and death, and the tribulation of the Dajjal. Okay? And the Prophet used to read this often in regular prayer. You know, you're in the jalsa, you're in the final position sitting. So along with your tahiyat and the things that you're reading, he would also attach this dua to it. Okay, so we need to seek. Okay? Has he appeared? This is the argument that people bring in terms of Dajjal. Okay, I want to just hold for a minute to see if there are any questions, because this Dajjal, very big topic, and it may be new to some of you, right? But I want to open up the floor for any questions before I go on with any more details. So the floor is open for any questions anybody may have concerns. Yeah. Very good question. So the question is, and this is a question actually that some of the companions asked. And the question is, if a day is like a year, right, then what do you do about Salat? Okay, if a day is like a year, like time is off, right? So then the Prophet ﷺ said that you should do Qadr, you should estimate your times and pray according to that. اقتروا له قدرا. And the example is used, this is used by the scholars. When people from the north, like in Canada, and we have this situation in the Northwest Territories, in a place called, and then also in Iqaluit, that's Nunavut, right? So when you're in the Northwest Territories, you are above the Arctic Circle. And so in the wintertime, it gets dark all the time. So there's no light. So what are you going to do for your Salat? So I went up there one time to the Northwest Territories, and I we landed and everything, and then, you know, I went to my room. And then when it was in the evening came, when the afternoon came, it was light outside, okay, Asr. And then when it was time for Maghrib, the brothers came and said, it's time for Salatul Maghrib, and the sun was out. So it was strange. So I said, okay. Then Isha, after about an hour and a half, they said, it's Isha time. And we made Isha prayer, and the sun was out. Then I went back to my room and tried to lay down, pull the curtains down. It was like 1 o'clock. Sun is outside. And they came at Fajr. And they said, it's time for Fajr. Sun is outside. It's the land of the midnight sun. You see? So there's times when the sun does not set. Okay? So the ulama used this hadith as one of the proofs to say that when you in this area, make estimation. So the fatwa given by the Canadian Council of Imams here is that if you're living on the western side, then you can use Edmonton. You take the prayer times of Edmonton, Alberta, and that's the most reasonable place. If you're in Iqaluit in the east, they use Ottawa. So you can use the prayer chart of Ottawa, and then you make your prayers. Very serious situation. Just imagine Ramadan. Because when do you break your fast? If it's summertime and the sun's out, when is iftar? You got a problem, right? You got to wait like 30 days, 40 days for iftar, right? Can't. So you got to make estimation. Now, floor is open for any other questions online. Right, so I'm saying these claims, you know, have gone by, even, you know, with the computer thing and all that. All these, a lot of claims has happened. But unless certain things go down in the world, and unless a human being appears who is Dajjal, we don't accept this. Okay, and so there have been, a lot of people have claimed to be the Mahdi, and we studied that last week. False claims. And so we need to follow the signs as it comes in the authentic traditions. Okay, so these are false things. Now,
what is the monumental goal of the Dajjal?
What is the monumental
goal of the Dajjal?
The goal. The goal. Dajjal wants everybody to worship him. That's his main thing. He wants you to say that he's your Lord, and to be accepted, you know, as God. That's what his goal is. And the true believer looks at him and it says, the Prophet said, you will see kaf, fa, ra, meaning kafir, disbeliever written in his forehead. Like you'll see it if you really believe. Okay, so the true believer can be saved from this. Okay, now, has he appeared? That's the argument. We believe. We take the signs literally. In other words, as the sign is given to us, he's a man, he has a certain type of build, he looks a certain way, that's the Dajjal. And we have evidence as to how he's going to look, and that his left eye is blinded. These are physical characteristics. And another proof for the fact that the Dajjal is actually a human being, is that in the Prophet's time, in Medina, there was a section where many of the children of Israel lived, right? There was three areas, Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynaqa, and so there was three areas. So in one of the areas, the Prophet ﷺ identified this young man who had these strange powers. Okay, and he would walk by these areas, and he would literally be looking for this boy. And on one occasion, he saw the boy, and the boy said insulting things to the Prophet. He was a really arrogant, rude young boy. And so Umar, who was with the Prophet, said, let me chop this boy's head off. That's how the Prophet said, don't touch him. Because if he is Dajjal, you will not be able to slay him. He will only be killed by Jesus, the son of Mary. And if he isn't Dajjal, then you committed murder. So you cannot touch him. And this boy was really, it's unbelievable when you're reading the traditions. Most people don't get a chance to go into this. He even, one time the Prophet ﷺ even came to him, and the boy was throwing things at him. So then the Prophet said to him, okay, if you are Dajjal, then read my mind. This is the Prophet ﷺ with a boy, right? That's how serious this was. He said, read my mind. Tell me what's in my heart. And the boy said, Adokh. Adokh. And then the Prophet said, you didn't make it. Okay? Later, he revealed to Umar that inside of his mind, he said, Adukhan. Dukhan, like the smoke, right? He had half of it. He actually read half. So he had some kind of power, right? And his name was Ibn Sayyad. Safi Ibn Sayyad. Now, later on in his life, he accepted Islam. And after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a Muslim. But the companions, everybody was afraid of him. Right? Like everybody would sort of like go around him because of what he was before, right? And one time, one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Umar, I believe it was, Allah knows best, one of the Abdullahis, he was camped near Safi. So Safi said, why don't you come to my camp? I'll give you something to eat. And he said, Umar said, no, that's all right. So he said, why? And so he got angry and he said, what's wrong with me? Like, why do you hate me? I'm a Muslim. And I have children. And according to the hadith, Dajjal will not have children. Okay, so what is wrong with me? What is wrong? And then Abdullah then said to him, what happened if you were the Dajjal? What would you think about that? And then he said, I would enjoy this. Like I would really get into it. He said something bad, right? And Abdullah was about to hit him, right? But then he didn't. And when he went home, his wife said to him, it's better that you didn't hit him. Because if you hit him, he may have exploded, right? Okay, now, the historians say, in one of the great battles, Safi was killed. All of his sons, all of his children died. So he didn't have children. In one of the battles, he was done, he was killed, and nobody found his body. They did not find his body. Okay, so it was really, really strange about this individual. And there is a long story, the story of hadith of Tamim ad-Dari, who was a Christian Arab, who was traveling in the oceans, probably somewhere around Indonesia, in those oceans out there, and he came back. It's a long story, and said he came, to an island, and he found, this hairy creature was in chains. And this creature had one eye, and it asked him certain questions. Has the Prophet appeared amongst the Arabs? What about the lake Tabaria, that's in Palestine, Tiberias? Is it dried up yet? So he asked them certain questions. And they said, yes, the Prophet, he has appeared. And Tabaria, it's drying up. And one of the things now is this Tabaria, the Israelis, they've drained it. They've drained it. That's one of the arguments that he's around, right? But anyhow, Tamim ad-Dari said, I will soon be out of these chains. And he came back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet did not deny what this man had said. So there's a lot of different stories surrounding Dajjal. who he is, when he will come, but we know for a fact that he has not come yet, because this is a major test that we will all be under. This is not some little Islamophobia that we're going through. This is major test, which is about to come. Okay, so this is the test of Dajjal himself, the Antichrist. And it is a major one. The Christians believe it's coming. The Yahud, the Orthodox, you could see what they're doing. They're building, they want to build a temple in Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, and they want to slaughter the red heifer and whatnot. And they say if they do all these things, they have to knock down the masjids, then their Messiah is going to come. And that could possibly be Dajjal, actually, who's going to come. If you put that all in line, it would be that he appears and then he reaches there. So people are waiting for this major sign to come about. Now, floor is open for any questions that anybody has. Yes?
Do we believe that Dajjal is someone who's born an organ who hopes to be the Dajjal, or is he going to just suddenly appear?
He's a human being. And in terms of his early life, we don't know his early life. However, the Prophet ﷺ was actually watching this boy, Safi. He was watching the boy. And Safi went through these changes. So he was watching somebody. But he will live a human life, grow up, somehow lose the sight of his right eye. You know, and he will be there. And he will be leading an army. And he will move all around the earth, testing people, you know, putting people under tremendous trials. And you can see the power that money has on human beings. It's unbelievable. If somebody went on Yonge Street and said today, I will give $1 million to anybody who comes here and says, you're the Lord. Just say it, man. I'll give you $1 million. There would be a lot of people lined up to get that money. There'd be some Muslims in the line too. They'll be in the line. Because people are controlled by material things. All right, so when this test comes, it is the greatest test that we will ever face. And at this point in time, like I say, you don't have to be afraid, you know, that Dajjal is down on Yonge Street. All right? You don't have to be afraid of that, because there is time between when he's going to come. There's things we have to get ourselves together. You can see that the main protection is to be a true Muslim. If you're a true Muslim, if you're serious about your faith, and you're making your prayers and you're keeping yourself purified, that's your best protection against when this fitna comes. Now, question?
Does the word Dajjal translate to?
Dajjal could be like the great liar, because Dajjala is like to lie or deceive. So it's like the great liar. And so they use the word Antichrist, but it's really more like, you know, the great liar. You could say a liar prophet or the great, but it's the great liar. Because when you say Dajjal, it means like the great one. So he's the great liar. He's the greatest liar that ever lived. Question. Yes, so Dajjal is a human being, and he will die, and we will be seeing later on how he dies, and he will be judged. And he's going to have a terrible judgment, too. He has a lot to answer for.
Well, like, isn't it almost as if he doesn't have free will?
In a sense, you know, but he's making a choice. I mean, there are some people who are doing wicked things in the world, right? And some of them know. And you ask yourself, how could somebody kill all these people and do these things that they're doing, right? But they're controlled by their lower self or materials or whatever it is. And they do it. And Dajjal is one of these individuals who's out of control. He's out of control and he wants power. And you can see what people will do. Look at the elections in many other countries of the world. What people will do for power. To be the prime minister, to be the president, to be the leader. What they will do to get that power, right? So power intoxicates. It intoxicates the individual. And he is intoxicated more than anybody else. Because look at the powers that he has. He can literally make rain come and cause droughts, and he has like beyond magical powers as a test. It's a test on people, but it goes to his head. Yeah, you know, as far as the Jewish belief, I can't really say what they believe. Like, you'd have to ask them. But we do know that they were expecting a Messiah to come. Actually, they expected that the last prophet would actually come to them. And if you look at the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the city of Medina, it used to be called Yathrib. And so in Yathrib, the Jewish tribes were there because they expected a prophet to come. It's in their books, okay? And even when they fought against the Arab tribes in, you know, in Medina, although they had pretty good relationship, but when they got in a fight, they'd say, when our prophet comes, we'll slay you with him. So they expected the prophet to come, and they're waiting for him, because they had the signs in between the two volcanic lava and the mountainous area is a description of Yathrib. And they were sitting there waiting. But they didn't realize that Abraham, Ibrahim, had two wives, right? So it wasn't from the side of Sarah. It's the side of Hajar, Ismail. So it was still following their book. But it was a side of the family they didn't want to accept. So when he came, when the Prophet ﷺ came, they didn't accept him. And when Jesus came, Isa alayhi salam came, he was from a righteous family. His mother was righteous. And he had, you know, powers, but they would not accept him. And they said his mother committed adultery, and they never accepted Jesus. And they turned him into the Romans, right? That's the story of Jesus. So according to their teachings, their Messiah still didn't come, because Jesus was not him. So they're still waiting. So in their deluded minds, they would, when this person comes, they look at him as their Messiah. That's how they're going to look at him. But according to how our signs are looking at it, it looks more than likely that this would be Dajjal himself. But we can't say that for sure. We cannot say for sure. But it looks as though something like this is actually, all the pieces are falling in place. Right now, it's all falling in place. Online question?
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Mm-hmm. Is the Dajjal alive then until now in the cave?
Yeah, so in terms of whether that was him in the cave and alive up until now, we don't know. Whether he was actually Safi died. Safi accepted Islam and died in the battle. And his body wasn't found. Some people are mutilated so bad that you don't even find them. So he could have been born right at this time or shortly after this and then grow up and become Dajjal. We don't know. All we do know is the signs of what he's going to appear to be and what his abilities are. We do know that. Now.
Yeah. If it's the case that the Dajjal has been granted such power, is it possible that he is associated with a country, state, or organization? Who will be his followers?
Mm. Good. Yeah. We can't. The question is, you know, is Dajjal connected with a country or, you know, a state or an organization? Again, people make their own interpretations. So some people say, well, Dajjal is, you know, it's American Airlines and it was the British, you know, whatever. We can't say this. That's not right to specifically say it's any particular country that is there. you could say that there are people, the forerunners of Dajjal are around. You see the international bankers and the things that are going on in the world. You've studied, you hear about Freemasonry, Illuminati, all this. There are groups like this in the shadows, okay? But they're secretive, so we don't know exactly what they're doing. And we cannot pin it down. And it's wrong to say that it's one particular country or another. We can't do that. Unless we had proof. And we don't have proof. Now, any other general questions anybody has about Dajjal?
There's one online.
Yeah.
Is there anyone who resembles a Dajjal, like a Hindu, for example, who said he was God, like Sai Baba? Is there anyone like this today?
So the question is there anybody who resembles him, Dajjal? You know, at this point, I don't know of anybody who resembles him. I mean, some people try to say that, you know, Dajjal is certain people. There was one person in who fought against the Arabs. His name, Moshe Dayan was his name. And if any of you know political history. But the problem was it was the wrong eye. He had a patch over his eye, right? But it was the wrong one, though, right? It was the wrong side, and it wasn't him. Obviously, it was not him. Okay, so he will have one eye, and certain signs are there. And it's wrong for us to really, put any particular person in this place unless he is performing certain acts. You see the powers that he has, right? When that comes, we will know that this is somebody. None of these groups that you're mentioning have this power. Nobody has this power. To go to all around the world. We see now with international communications that it's easy to affect everybody in the world, right? Like how many people in the world are online now? So if somebody comes online and then puts something up there and it goes viral, as they say, it's going to go to a lot of parts of the world. So there is international communication now. Like we're interconnected. So therefore, he will be able to move around rapidly to different parts of the world, there's no doubt. The stage is set for this.
We've seen like examples of people who claim to be prophets. Are there people who are going to claim to be Dajjal?
No. Nobody has claimed to be Dajjal. I've never heard of anybody like this. Usually the claims are somebody like, you know, a Mahdi or a prophet. But to say you're Dajjal, no. Nobody's crazy enough to say that. I've never heard of that before.
It's the only time we're going to hear of his emergence is where you set like those locations.
Yeah, the only time is when the certain signs are being fulfilled and then his emergence comes and he's doing certain things around the world. Then we'll know. And then we have a basic description of what he looks like, you know, so we'll know, you know, what he's going to, you know, look like. So this is one of the, next signs, the biggest signs. And the signs were going to be following each other, you know, like beads falling off of a string. International conflict is going on. It's like Melhama. It's an international war. It's about to come. And you can see the world being set up for something. So there's international conflict going on. And during this time, you know, this Dajjal is actually going to be appearing during this time. Okay? Any general questions anybody has? Yeah. Yes, so the Prophet, peace be upon him, would get visions, and sometimes he would be, during the day, see certain things at night. Angel Jibreel came to him and taught him certain things. So there's different ways that you know, this knowledge came to him. Yeah, it's all part of the revelation. So the revelation is all these different, you know, ways that Allah has communicated through the Prophet. Any other general questions anybody has? Floor is open for any general questions.
Where are we and the other like a week. How do we interpret that? Do we interpret that as 3 days, or within the 40 days, like there'll be more days that feels like a year or more?
Yeah, you know, like I say, time stood still.
Yeah.
You can't interpret it in a normal way, because things have just extended. It's a just total different perception that's going to be during that time. And again, if an earthquake, you know, strikes, may Allah forbid, you know, or you're in a terrible crisis, time goes by like you don't even, you know, like you're just not even thinking about time, because there's such a crisis going on around you. So it's that kind of things that are going to be happening in the world. So this is why, you know, it's important to have a good foundation in your faith, to be strong in your prayers, you know, to be strong in your fasting, your remembrance of Allah, you know, your lifestyle. The stronger you are, is that when the wind blows, you got a good foundation, like a plant, right? You're strong. So the stronger you are in your faith, the more you know about the faith, and you practice, you'll be able to withstand these terrible tests when they come to the world. Okay, any other general questions before we close the first part of the class? So next week, inshallah, we will be continuing on. And this Dajjal leads directly into Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. So the next week, we will be dealing with the return of Jesus, because this goes right into it. Remember, the signs are going to come one after another. So this one is going to lead right into the coming of Isa alayhi salam. And that is good news. So after you hear about Isa, you'll feel better, inshallah. Right? So you don't have to, you know, don't worry about Dajjal. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. No. So inshallah, next week we will continue. Have a safe journey home. For those online, you know, may Allah make it easy for all of us. Wa akhira da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.